This morning, I'd like to ask you a question. How's your prayer life? What do you know about prayer? There are those that would tell us that you don't need to be taught how to pray, and you don't have to be told what you should pray for. You're a child of God, and you can just say whatever you want to say. And while that is true to a point, Jesus taught us how to pray. The bottom line is, we need to be taught how to pray. Open your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 6. We've come today in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. And in just a moment, we'll begin reading our text in verse number 9. I want us to focus today on prayer. The prayer that never fails. You may wonder if your prayers are heard. Does prayer work? Jesus gave us the model prayer, and this prayer is a prayer that never fails because Jesus gave it to us to teach us how to pray. I don't believe that Jesus told us to pray something that God wouldn't answer or that he told us to pray something that would fail. So I want us to look with me to Matthew chapter 6 at the prayer that never fails. Please stand for the reading of the Word of God in honor of His Word. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse number 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for all that you brought together this morning to hear your word. And dear Lord, I just pray that you would help us to understand how to pray. The things that we should request, the things that we should say as we pray to you each time. Dear Lord, I pray that you would just help us to have a stronger prayer life, have a frequent prayer life with you, dear Lord, that we would spend time with you and would pour our hearts out to you. Help us, dear Lord, to learn today of how to pray. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When you compare this passage to Luke's account in Luke chapter 11, you will see that Jesus taught this when his disciples asked, Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. I think it's interesting that they didn't say, teach us to preach. They didn't say, teach us to work miracles. They didn't say, teach us to participate in acts of compassion. But instead, they said, teach us to pray. There's something important about prayer. Let me just tell you how important it is in the life of a believer. I've never had a failure in my life that can't be traced back to a failure in prayer. If there is a sin failure in my life, it can be traced to a failure to pray to overcome that sin. If you have a worry problem, it can be traced back to a failure to cast all my cares upon Him, for He cares for me. If there is any kind of failures in our lives, it can be traced back to a failure to pray as we should. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. But sometimes we do, don't we? Sometimes we do faint. Sometimes we give up. So we throw up our hands. We throw in the towel. We say, I'm done. I've prayed all that I can. I've done everything I can do. I am through with prayer. Jesus says, don't give up on prayer. You may say, I don't have any power in my prayer. If you were to go home and turn on the light switch in your home and you flip the switch and nothing happens, you don't call Thomas Edison and a liar, do you? Just because you pray and you have no power in your prayer, you have no right to call God a liar. Sometimes the bulb needs to be changed. Sometimes there are other reasons for unanswered prayer. Sin. Selfishness. Jesus, in the preceding verses, says, when thou prayest. Verse number 6, it says, when thou prayest. Verse number 7, when ye pray. Verse number 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father. Then when he gets to verse 9, he says, and after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father. He changed from saying you and your Father to our Father. It seems that Jesus is including all believers together now. It also seems to show that Jesus is giving a pattern for corporate prayer. Notice that the first three petitions in this prayer deals with God. The last three petitions deals with us, with mankind. Did you see what Jesus said? When we pray that his name would be hallowed, that his kingdom would come, it's all about God. And our prayer should be consumed with the person of God. Our prayer should be directed to God. It should be about God's name. It should be about God's glory. It should be all about God. Amen. Then when we have acknowledged the greatness and glory of God, then we move to our bread, our sins, our forgiveness. Can I suggest something to you? If your prayer life needs to be tweaked any, changed a little, changed a lot, why don't you start here? Instead of when you begin your prayers, you dive off into all your needs, diving into all that you want. Have you ever prayed for your wants? Of course we have. Of course we have. All of us have made our wants known to God. We have, haven't we? Amen. Yeah, you can say amen. We all have done it. It's not like, God, I have to have this to survive, or that I need this so that you can get glory from my life. But God, this sure would make life easier. I would be a lot more comfortable if you would give this, if you would grant this, if you would do this or that. And it's about us being comfortable. And it's about us being about it being easier for us. It's about a lot of things, but not about the glory of God. If you want to radically change your prayer life, let your prayer life be first consumed with the glory and the greatness of God.
Amen.
Not your needs and wants. There's three petitions that deal with God. First of all, I want to see a prayer that is to be directed to God the Father. Verse number 9 says, our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, who is in heaven.
Right.
You can imagine these Jews as they hear these words for the very first time. Our Father, who is in heaven. In the Old Testament, God was seen as a judge. He was seen as the lawgiver. He was seen as a deliverer. The idea of God being our Father wasn't really developed in the Old Testament. In Psalm 103 and 13 says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. But the idea of God being our Father was foreign to the mind of the Jew. Jesus comes on the scene. He says, when you pray, you need to understand that you are addressing your Father.
Amen.
You understand the ramifications of that? You are not addressing a distant God that doesn't care about us. We are not addressing a judge that is ready to slam the gavel of guilt against us. We are coming to a Father who loves us. And that is the one to whom we pray. Jesus said, our Father. You must also understand that God is not the father of everyone. God is not the father of everybody. But you say God made everybody. That's true. God is the creator of all things. But God is not the father of all. snakes, roaches, and rats. But God's not their father. He is their creator. In order for God to be your father, a new birth must take place. And when that new birth takes place, God is your father. Do you have a great relationship with your heavenly father? If you don't, it's because of you and not him. There are times when we rebel against our father. There are times when we get too busy for him. But please understand, God is always pursuing us. He is always showing kindness towards us. He is always showing love toward us. Even when I was yet a sinner. You see, if you want God to be your father, you've got to be born again.
Amen.
So when Jesus comes to the scene, he says, we are praying to our Father. That's a new idea. You see, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming to this world in the flesh, brought God the Father, who was far away, who was a distant God. But when Jesus came in the flesh, he brought God up close and personal. Now we can know him. We can touch him. We can hear him. We can talk to him. It's all because of Jesus Christ. This prayer is an example of our prayers that are to our Heavenly Father. I got to see my dad back in November several years ago. I can't remember the exact year. We got to go get caught up on things. I traveled all the way to Arizona to go see him. We talked about things that happened years before. And I knew he had some problems with cancer a few years before, but he was better at that time. He was back working. I helped him work, and we talked. 1 month later, his health had gone downhill, and just about the time I got back to Romania, I heard he had died. I miss my daddy. I can't imagine you having your daddy here on this earth and ignoring him. Not spending time with him. Not talking to him. Shame on you if you haven't talked to your daddy. And you can. And I can't imagine God being your heavenly father. And you go days. And you don't ever talk to him. You don't engage in conversation with him. You don't take time to just stop. You tell the world, you go on, but this 15 or 30 minutes belong to me and my heavenly father. What gets done, gets done. Whatever doesn't get done, just won't get done. But I'm spending time with my Heavenly Father. I'm speaking to some today who didn't have a good relationship with their earthly father. He was mean. Only thought of himself. Selfish. Maybe unfaithful to your mama. Whatever your case may be, I want to tell you today that God will be the father to you that you never had. God will be the father to you that you need. God will be the father to you that will teach you how to be the father you should be. God is a loving God. He's a loving father. He's a tender father. He's a forgiving father. He's a listening father. The Bible says when we pray, we are to pray our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father is a loving father. And our Father is a listening father. But never forget that our Father is in heaven. Let me just say this, and I'll speak more about this in the next point. But God is not a man. God is not your buddy. God is not your pal. God is God. You know what? You will never be him. You will never be on the same level as him. God is God. The Bible says he's in heaven. Now notice there's a series of three petitions that we are to pray. We are to pray our Father who is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. To most of the Jews of that day, the name God was a hallowed name. It was sacred. It was holy. And he is saying when we pray that God's name should be hallowed. God's name should be respected. God's name should be revered. God is not the man upstairs. God's name is a sacred name. Now, when the Jews that heard Jesus say, when you pray that you're to hallow the name of God, the Jews in that day, in their religious conceit, thought that they did hallow the name of God. But Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, they honoreth me with their lips, but with their heart is far from me. Amen. That may be you today. I would never take God's name in vain. I would never be comfortable in a group where God's name was being treated lightly. And you say, I can't stand to hear the name of God taken in vain. Well, that's good, and that's commendable, that's admirable. Let me ask you this. Have you dishonored the name of God by refusing to do what he tells you to do? You see, there's more than one way to dishonor the name of God than just through blasphemy. There's more than one way to dishonor the name of God than using his name in vain. You can come to the house of God every time the doors are open, and because of the condition of your heart, because I'm going to hear a sermon, I'm going to sing the songs, I'm going to give an offering, but come Monday morning, I'm going to be the same old me. You have defamed the name of God, and you are no better than the man on the street that curses and uses God's name in a vain way. Before I go on, there are some things that needs to be addressed. There are some words and sayings that Christians should not say. Amen. I was in California a few years ago, and I heard a preacher, a pastor, swear by saying Jesus Christ. I've heard some of you say it. And you should be ashamed enough today to come and confess your sin before God. OMG. For those who don't know, that means oh my God. Unless you're talking directly to God at that moment, that phrase should not be used by believers.
Amen.
I don't even type the name of God or Father or Son or Spirit without capitalizing the word. I even capitalize the pronouns, the he, the him, the his. Your King James Bible doesn't always do that. Jesus said, you're praying to your Father. Jesus says, pray that his name would be hallowed. Pray that his name would be holy. Then he said to pray that his kingdom would come. Thy kingdom come. There are different interpretations that have been put out there that I've discovered. But what I believe it is talking about is this. When the Jews heard of a kingdom, there was only one thought that came to mind. To them, it meant that David would rule and reign from Jerusalem. They knew the promise that God had made. They knew the covenant that God had made with David and his descendants. And so when he says, pray thy kingdom come, they were praying that the descendants of David would rule and reign in righteousness in Jerusalem. And that all the enemies of Israel would be forever defeated. Little did they know that that involved the Jesus that was telling them how to pray. Do you understand that you can't pray for the kingdom to come without praying for the king to come? Amen. Thy kingdom come. Well, Jesus is right in front of you. Oh, no, 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 no. That's not what we want. We want a liberator. We want We want somebody that is going to shut down Rome and liberate us. We want somebody who's going to give us political freedom. But your greatest need is spiritual freedom. You are in bondage to sin. You are sold under sin. You are guilty before a holy God. But we want to be set free politically. Jesus was saying, when you pray for thy kingdom to come, you are praying for the descendant of David to sit on a throne of his father David and to rule and reign in righteousness. This is speaking of the day when the Lord Jesus comes. John said, book of Revelation 19 and 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. In the verse number 13, and he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That is Jesus. When Jesus comes and defeats the Antichrist and the false prophet, they are cast into hell, and Jesus will dismount his great white horse and walk through the streets of Jerusalem, out to Mount Zion, that on Temple Mount he will sit on the throne, and the literal throne of David in the new temple. He will literally rule on this earth for 1,000 years. Thy kingdom come. Would you do it? Would you really pray for the kingdom to come? I'm concerned about America, and I'm sure you are too. But I can't help but wonder if instead of praying for our candidate to be elected, if we prayed for the king to come, if that wouldn't make America a better place to live. Instead of praying for our party to win, we should be praying for the king to come. We're not praying for the king to come, we're praying for us to get our way. Let me ask this, did you pray last week for the kingdom to come? Did you pray one time for the king to come? When I was in seminary, we had book reports, we had books we had to read and make outlines for them. The list was given to us at the beginning of the semester. And I've told you before, I was not a model student. I would play at it throughout the semester, work at it a little bit here, a little bit there. Well, as it got closer to the end of the semester, when all those things were to do, time was getting short. And on top of all these outlines that need to be done, I had to study for the semester exams. I prayed more for the Lord's return during that time than any other time in my life. I was in a bind, and I needed out. I needed an escape. You know what? It wasn't about seeing Jesus. It wasn't about looking on his face. It wasn't about thanking him for his saving grace. It was about me getting out of a bind. Now our binds are a little bigger than what I faced 30 years ago. Now we pray that God will get us out of whatever. Folks, you know that you're growing in grace. You know that you love the Lord is becoming pure when you pray for the return of the King. For the simple fact that you want to look on the face of Jesus who died for you, thy kingdom come. Then he says, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You may say God is sovereign. Isn't God's will being done on earth now? No. If God's will was being done on earth, there would be no reason to pray for his will to be done on earth. If God's will was being done on earth, then everybody would be saved, because the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. No, the will of God is not being done on the earth. You've seen the horrendous crimes against humanity that's happened in Syria and other places. That's not God's will. You see what's being done in abortion clinics across the United States. That's not God's will. That's man's will. That's Satan's will. We are to pray God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's three petitions that belong to God: his name, his kingdom, and his will. The next thing I want us to see is the three petitions that deal with man. Give us this day our daily bread. These Jews that Jesus was speaking to were from an agricultural society. Many of them were no doubt day laborers, which meant at the end of the day they were paid a day's wage. They would take that small wage and buy enough food for that day. They didn't have enough money to buy extra to save up for another day. There was just enough for that day. Give us this day our daily bread. Here we are Americans. We are not a third world country. There may be some that are agricultural, but most of us are not. We can do better than live from day to day. I mean, we've got it down to where now we can live from paycheck to paycheck. Why would Jesus say, give us this day our daily bread? Why should I pray that? Should I pray that? Do you have $1 million in the bank? Should you pray, give us this day of our daily bread? You got a good job? Should you pray for daily bread? I can understand the person that is doing the best he can, living from hand to mouth every day. I can understand him praying, give me this day my daily bread. When I was in seminary, things were tight. Many times there was no food in the house. I'd pray that there would be a new supply at the food pantry. God provided daily bread. Some of you have been there. Some of you have not always had it so well. You know what it is to depend upon the Lord. My friend, whether you're a pauper or a millionaire, you ought to pray, give me this day my daily bread. Because it expresses our dependence on God. Here's what I know. Because I've got the same kind of nature that you have. It's hard for a man with a full stomach to pray, give me this day my daily bread. It's hard for a man with a good job to say, give me what I need today. It's hard for a man with a good retirement to express his dependence upon God every single day. Let me tell you the problem with that way of thinking. It's not your job that is giving you your daily bread. It's not your degree that is giving you your daily bread. It is the God in heaven that is giving you your daily bread. God would just have to touch one cell in your brain and you would not be able to dress yourself. You wouldn't know who you are. Now, who is giving you your daily bread? Is it in your employer? No. It is the God that wakes you up every morning. It is the God that gives you the sense to put on clothes and to put one foot in front of the other. It is the God that enables you to drive from point A to point B. It is God that gives you the talent, the ability, and the skill. It is God that we owe everything to. We owe everything to God. The air we breathe, the food we eat, the cars we drive, the homes we live in, the clothes we wear, everything we enjoy, all of it is a result of the goodness and the grace of God. Amen. Every day we should be on our faces before God thanking Him for our daily bread. Amen. Regardless of how much money you have in the bank, regardless of how full your freezer is, regardless of how full your pantry is, every day we should be praying, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Because it says to God, I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me. Now, my Savior, I come to Thee. The only person that won't do that, the only person in this building right now that won't do that is the person that has too much pride. Amen. You think you've got it all figured out. It's kind of like the rich man that Jesus talked about. This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. But God said unto him, thou fool. He was an idiot. When God looked down and said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, he didn't need God. You can make it all the money you can, but when God calls for your soul, you're gone. Amen. He said, pray, give us this day our daily bread. Then he said, Forgive us our debts. Isn't it interesting that he likens our sins to debts? Do you ever see that relationship in the Bible? Our sins are like debts. And he says, forgive our sins, our debts. Sin does put us in debt to God. Some of you here today are in debt to God right now. You're in debt because you have let sin pile up in your life, in your heart. And he is saying on a daily basis, we are to be praying that God would forgive our sins. He says, as we forgive our debtors, you may ask him, our forgiveness, is our forgiveness dependent upon that? Yes, it is. Our forgiveness is dependent upon us forgiving others. I've looked at it everywhere, the way that there is to look at it. At the end of the day, God says the same thing. You're either going to forgive them or not going to forgive, or he's not going to forgive you. If you will forgive them, he'll forgive you. You say they didn't ask for forgiveness. You must still forgive them.
Amen.
Can you do that? Can you forgive someone who hasn't asked? If you desire for God to forgive you, you must have a forgiving spirit in you. And I hear the objections. You don't understand what happened to me. You're exactly right. I don't understand what happened to you. But I'm telling you, based upon the authority that Jesus said, if you do not forgive others, he will not forgive you.
Amen.
It says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Then it ends with a word of praise. Let me show you something. Look how the prayer begins. Look how the prayer ends. The prayer begins with a word about the name of God, referencing the name of God. The prayer ends by referencing the name of God. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Do you understand that the kingdom and the power and the glory doesn't belong to America? The kingdom, power, and glory belong to Jesus Christ. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Throughout all ages, world without end. All power, all glory, all honor is his. So when you pray, be sure you include a word of praise to God. Petition. Prayer says please. Praise says thank you. So we come to God with our petitions of daily bread, forgiveness of sin, his will to be done, his name to be honored. But we also come to him with the word of praise, because he is worthy of our praise.
Amen.
This morning, as we consider this passage of scripture, how's your prayer life? Do you reference God in your everyday life, in your prayers? Do you pray for his kingdom to come? Do you pray for his will to be done on earth like it is in heaven? Do you ask him to forgive your sins? Do you forgive others of their sins? You ask him to lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Listen, Jesus taught us how to pray. He's teaching us how to pray. Are we listening? Are we learning? You may be here this morning. You don't understand about having a heavenly father. All you understand is your earthly father. A heavenly father is just too far out there. There's only one way you can have that heavenly father, and that's through accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
Amen.
you become a child of God, and he becomes your father. Do you love him? Do you honor his name by obeying him? Or are you allowing the sins to pile up, separating you from God, and you go out tomorrow as you go on about your life and you just forget everything about God and just live the way you've always lived? Preacher, that's just the way I am. Bless your heart. If you have the Holy Spirit living within you, you can't stay that way. And if you can, you've got some problems. If you can go out of here each week and go off into your world and live without any recognition about God or any testimony about God, you've got some problems. Listen. Know that the Heavenly Father is your Father. Honor him by obeying him. And let's learn to pray to our Heavenly Father. Bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this pattern, this model that you have given us. Help us, dear Lord, to remember this as we pray, to honor your name, to glorify you, dear Lord, and to recognize that you are our Father and that you are God, to use your name with respect and honor, to hallow your name. Dear Lord, to remember and to pray that, ask for your kingdom to come. Lord, please come and fix this evil world. Dear Lord, please allow your will to be done in this earth like it is in heaven. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins. Help us, dear Lord, to forgive one another's. Help us, dear Lord, to be not led into temptation. Because you're God. Your glory is magnificent. Your honor is above all else. And we thank you and we love you and we praise you for who you are. You're our Father. Thank you, Lord, for being our Father. We can talk to, we can share our hearts with. You care for us and you love us like a father would. Help us through all the struggles that we face in life. Just, dear Lord, I pray that your Spirit will move amongst the people today. I pray that they'll be receptive to the Spirit that's speaking to their hearts right now, that they might surrender to your will. And they may come and pray and ask you, Lord, to forgive them and help them in their lives with whatever struggles they're faced with. You know, I pray to the Lord, if there's any here that's not been saved, that today would be the day that they would say, I want to have a Heavenly Father. I want to have a relationship with God. I want to be saved today. Thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. Forgive us, Lord, for all of our sins. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.